The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're tackling something, well, something so profoundly weird it actually spooked Albert Einstein himself.
We are. We're diving into Jed Brody's work on quantum entanglement.
That's the one. The idea that challenges our most basic assumptions about reality.
It really does. It gets right to the heart of what Einstein called, famously, spooky action at a distance.
Okay, so what is the core paradox here?
It's this. Imagine you have two particles linked in some quantum way. If you measure a property of one particle here, its partner particle, even if it's light years away, instantaneously knows and adopts a related state. Instantly.
No delay. Faster than light.
The correlation is instant. It seems to defy everything we know about cause and effect needing time to travel. It's a huge philosophical puzzle, not just physics.
Right. And Einstein thought the spookiness meant quantum theory itself was flawed, incomplete somehow.
Exactly. But, spoiler alert, the experiments proved otherwise. Reality is that spooky.
So our mission today is to basically give you the essential story how entanglement went from this, like, philosophical headache to being the bedrock of new quantum technologies. We want you to walk away really understanding this fundamental strangeness.
And our guide through this conceptual minefield is Jed Brody.
Tell us about him. Why is he the right person to guide us?
Well, he's got the credentials. Theoretical physicist, professor at Emory, PhD from Harvard. He definitely knows the deep math and theory inside out.
Okay, so he's got the heavyweight physics background.
He does. But what makes him perfect for this conversation, for you listening, is his knack for communication. He's known for building what he calls an intuitive bridge.
An intuitive bridge. I like that.
Yeah. He understands where our normal, everyday intuition completely fails us when we hit quantum mechanics. And boy, does it fail with entanglement. He guides you across that gap without dumbing down the science.
So he translates the hardcore physics into something we can actually grapple with. Makes sense.
He's really the ideal translator for this stuff. And his core message, the central thesis from his work, is pretty direct. Even if the implications are, well, huge.
Which is?
That quantum entanglement isn't some weird little footnote in physics. It's a fundamental, experimentally proven feature of our universe. And accepting it means we have to fundamentally rethink some core beliefs.
Okay, so what classical ideas does entanglement force us to abandon? Brody highlights two, right?
That's right. The first one is locality.
Locality, that sounds local. What does it mean in physics?
It's basically common sense, right? An object is only directly affected by its immediate surroundings. You push a book, it moves. Something happening across the galaxy doesn't instantly affect it.
Cause and effect need to travel, limited by the speed of light.
Precisely. Locality says there's no instantaneous action at a distance. Entanglement seems to scream otherwise.
Okay, so that's one pillar down. What's the second one?
The second is realism.
Realism, like things are real.
Sort of. More specifically, it's the idea that objects have definite properties before we measure them, whether we're looking or not. Think of a coin in your pocket. Realism says it's already either heads or tails, even if you don't know which yet.
It has a pre-existing definite state.
Exactly. Entanglement challenges that, too. It suggests quantum particles might not have definite properties like spin up or spin down until the exact moment you measure them.
Wow. Okay, so no definite properties until measured, and instant connection across distance. That's a lot to take in.
It is. And Brody's work is essentially about guiding us to accept this more interconnected, non-local, non-realist view of the universe because, well, the evidence demands it.
Let's trace that evidence. It really kicks off with that famous 1935 paper, right? The EPR paradox.
That's the one. Einstein, Podolsky, and Rosen. But here's the interesting thing. They weren't trying to prove entanglement. They were using it as a weapon against quantum mechanics.
Now, so
they basically constructed this thought experiment involving entangled particles and said, look, if quantum mechanics is right about this spooky connection, and if we assume locality holds, then particles must have predefined properties we just don't know about, hidden variables.
Hidden instructions telling them how to behave beforehand.
Right. They argued that without these hidden variables, accepting entanglement meant accepting non-locality, which Einstein just couldn't stomach. So for them, entanglement was proof that quantum mechanics was incomplete. It was missing something.
And they used that analogy, the gloves in a box, to make it seem less weird, right?
The glove analogy is often used. You put a left glove in one box, a right in another, send them far apart. You open yours, find a right glove.
Instantly know the other is left.
but there's no spookiness there. The leftness or rightness was determined from the start. It was a pre-existing property, just like Einstein wanted for particles.
Okay, but Brody makes a crucial point here. Entanglement is way stranger than the gloves.
Infinitely stranger. Because if those were entangled quantum particles, say, electrons with spin, they wouldn't have a definite spin up or down before you measured one. Unlike the gloves, which are already left or right, the electron's spin is genuinely undecided.
So measuring one doesn't just reveal a hidden property?
No. It seemed to instantaneously create the property, say, spin up for your electron, and simultaneously force the other electron, miles away, into the correlated state, spin down. The measurement itself defines reality for both, instantly.
That's the core weirdness. It demands we quickly touch on those quantum basics Brody covers. Let's start with superposition.
Right. Superposition is key. Before you measure a quantum particle, it doesn't typically exist in just one state. An electron's spin isn't definitively up or down.
Sure, that's both. Or neither.
It's more like a probabilistic combination of all its possibilities at once. Brody talks about it like a cloud of possibility. It exists in a fuzzy potential state.
Okay, a cloud of possibility. Then what happens when we actually, you know, look at it, measure?
That's measurement collapse. The act of measuring isn't passive observation in quantum mechanics. It's disruptive. It forces the particle out of that fuzzy superposition.
It makes it choose a single definite state.
Exactly. The cloud collapses into a specific reality, spin up or spin down. And the truly baffling part of entanglement is that when one entangled particle collapses, its distant partner collapses simultaneously into the perfectly correlated state.
Okay, so this was the theoretical picture. But it was still kind of philosophical, Einstein versus Bohr, until John Stuart Bell came along in the 60s.
Bell's work in 1964 was absolutely pivotal. He took this decades-long debate, Einstein's local realism versus quantum mechanics non-locality, and did something incredible.
What was that?
He turned it from a philosophical argument into a testable scientific question. He found a way to actually check, experimentally, who was right.
How on earth did he do that?
He devised a mathematical theorem, now known as Bell's inequality. Think of it like a mathematical boundary line.
A boundary for what?
A boundary for reality, if Einstein was right. Bell proved that any theory based on local realism, the idea of preset properties and no spooky action, could only produce correlations between entangled particles up to a certain strength. There was a mathematical limit.
So if the particles were just like the gloves, with hidden instructions, their correlations couldn't cross this line Bell calculated.
Precisely. But quantum mechanics predicted that under certain experimental conditions, the correlations between entangled particles would be stronger than Bell's limit. They would violate the inequality.
So Bell basically said, run the experiment, measure the correlations. If they stay below my line, Einstein wins. If they cross it.
Quantum mechanics is right, and the universe is fundamentally non-local. Spooky action is real. It was an incredibly powerful piece of theoretical work.
And then came the experiments.
Yes, leading up to the really definitive ones by Alain Aspect and his team in the early 1980s, and many, many more since then, closing potential loopholes.
What did Aspect find?
They measured the correlations between entangled photons sent in different directions using different measurement settings, and the results were crystal clear time after time.
They crossed the line.
They blew past it. The observed correlations violated Bell's inequality, exactly as quantum mechanics predicted.
Wow. So the experiments proved it? The universe is non-local.
That's the inescapable conclusion from decades of testing. Spooky action at a distance, in terms of correlation, is a fact of nature.
But wait, does this mean we can send messages faster than light using entanglement? Like, I measure my particle up, and my friend light years away instantly knows.
Ah, this is a crucial clarification Brody makes. No, you cannot send information faster than light using entanglement.
Why not? The correlation is instant.
Because while the correlation is instantaneous, the outcome of your measurement is fundamentally random. You measure your particle, you get up, you instantly know the other one is down. But you couldn't force your particle to be up to send a deliberate up signal.
Ah, I see. I don't control my own result. It's random.
Exactly. You only discover the correlation after the fact when you compare notes with the person measuring the other particle. And that comparison requires classical communication limited by the speed of light. Non-locality is about shared states, shared reality, not faster than light messaging.
Okay, that makes sense. So reality is fundamentally non-local, proven by experiment. What are the big takeaways, the main themes Brody wants us to absorb from this whole story?
Well, the first big theme is definitely the limits of classical intuition. Brody really emphasizes that our everyday gut feelings about how the world works, developed from dealing with large objects, are just wrong guides for the quantum realm.
We have to be humble about our intuition.
Absolutely. Intellectual humility is required. You can't just visualize entanglement easily based on everyday experience. You have to trust the math and the experimental results.
Makes sense. What's the next theme?
Theme two follows from non-locality, the interconnectedness of reality. Entanglement strongly suggests that, at a fundamental level, the universe isn't just a collection of separate things.
It's more unified.
Yes. These seemingly separate particles share a single, unified quantum state, no matter how far apart they are. It challenges our deep-seated assumption of separability. It points towards a kind of fundamental wholeness.
That's quite profound. And the third theme?
Theme three is about the scientific process itself. The unity of theory and experiment. The whole entanglement saga is a beautiful example of how science progresses.
How so?
You have this deep philosophical puzzle, the EPR paradox. Then a brilliant theoretical insight, Bell's theorem, turns it into something testable. Then rigorous experiments, like aspects, provide the crucial data. Theory and experiment working together perfectly.
That's a great illustration of science at its best. Brody also has some really punchy ways of summarizing these ideas. Are there any particular quotes or core statements that really stand out?
Oh, definitely. One that really gets to the heart of it is, entanglement is not just a curiosity of quantum mechanics. It is quantum mechanics.
Meaning it's not some optional extra feature.
Exactly. It is the thing that makes quantum mechanics fundamentally different from classical physics. It's the core of the quantum mystery and power. Take away entanglement, and you basically have something much less revolutionary.
I like that. I also found this one very clarifying. The quantum world is not simply strange. It is strange in precisely the ways that Bell's theorem predicts it. It must be strange.
Yes. That counters the idea that it's just random, incomprehensible weirdness.
Right. It's saying the strangeness itself follows specific, predictable mathematical rules. It's irrational strangeness, even if it defies common sense.
Perfectly put. And it's that predictable strangeness that we're now learning to harness for some potentially world-changing technologies.
Okay, let's talk applications. Quantum computing comes up immediately. How does entanglement play a role there?
Entanglement is basically the secret sauce in quantum computing. It's what links the qubits together.
Qubits being the quantum version of classical bits, ones and zeros.
Right, but qubits can be in superposition 0 and 1 simultaneously. When you entangle multiple qubits, they become a single interconnected system. Measuring one instantly affects the others.
And this allows for, what was the term, quantum parallelism?
Yes. Because the entangled qubits explore many possibilities at once, a quantum computer can tackle certain types of problems, like simulating complex molecules for drug discovery, or breaking certain types of encryption, or complex optimization problems exponentially faster than any classical computer ever could. Entanglement provides the computational superpower.
Okay, computing is huge. What about security? Quantum cryptography or QKD?
Quantum key distribution is another amazing application. The core idea is truly elegant, using entanglement to share a secret key for encryption in a way that is fundamentally unhackable by the laws of physics.
How does that work?
Remember, measurement collapse. If an eavesdropper tries to intercept and measure the entangled particles being used to create the key,
they inevitably disturb the system.
Exactly. The very act of spying leaves an unavoidable trace. The legitimate users can detect the disturbance and know the key has been compromised. Security is guaranteed by physics, not just complex math that could eventually be cracked.
That's incredibly clever. Leveraging the weirdness for perfect security, are there more philosophical or personal applications Brody suggests?
Well, maybe not direct applications, but a powerful lesson. The whole process of science grappling with entanglement, being forced by evidence to abandon deeply held classical intuitions like locality and realism, is a model for intellectual growth.
You mean being willing to change your mind when the facts contradict your beliefs?
Precisely. Brody's narrative is a case study in intellectual humility and adaptability. It shows the importance of letting evidence, however strange, guide our understanding, rather than clinging to comfortable preconceptions. That's a valuable approach in any field, not just physics.
That's a really good point, applying that rigor beyond science. So stepping back, what was the most surprising or impactful thing for you in revisiting Brody's explanation?
For me, it's the sheer historical weight of the experimental results. Realizing that this epic intellectual battle between Einstein, the titan of classical physics, and Niels Bohr, the champion of the new quantum view, It's actually been settled.
Settled by experiment.
Yes. Bell's theorem and Aspect's experiments and all the follow-ups definitively show that Bohr's interpretation, the probabilistic, non-local quantum mechanics, describes reality correctly. Einstein's intuition about local realism, as deeply held as it was wrong. The universe sided with Bohr.
That is stunning when you put it like that. The giant was wrong. So the final takeaway for you, the listener, from all this?
I think it's that reality is demonstrably stranger, more interconnected, and maybe more interesting than our everyday experience suggests.
Mm.
But crucially, this strangeness isn't magic. It's understandable through science, through math and experiment, and it's becoming harnessable through technology.
It requires work, though. Wrestling with these concepts isn't easy.
No, it requires persistence, like Brody models. But the reward is a fundamentally deeper, truer understanding of the cosmos we inhabit.
And maybe a final thought to leave people chewing on.
Well, if entanglement tells us that separation is, in some sense, an illusion at the most fundamental level, how might that insight apply elsewhere? Think about large, complex systems we usually view as separate parts, like ecosystems or economies or even societies.
Are there hidden non-local connections we're missing because we're stuck in a classical localized mindset?
Exactly. Could entanglement be a metaphor, or maybe even more than a metaphor, for deeper interconnections in complex systems that we haven't fully grasped yet? It certainly challenges us to think differently.
A challenging and fascinating thought indeed. Thank you for guiding us through this deep dive.
My pleasure. It's mind-bending stuff, but incredibly important.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akhatra Foundation.